Welcome, everyone, into the B-Section podcast brought to you by The Morning Times and The Daily Review. I'm Kirk Loveson alongside Logan Hill and David Goff, bringing you, as always, a recap of last week's high school football action. We'll look ahead to this weekend, what's on tap, and then talk some national sports as well. We got October baseball's full effect with the playoffs, and then we got some NFL to finish up with. But before we do any of that, Logan, tell us about our sponsor for today's episode.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, even lottery tickets and that pick-me-up cup of coffee. It has been cold lately, and I have needed that pick-me-up cup of coffee, let me just say that much. But they have it all for you over at the Jolly Farmer. That's 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. The Jolly Farmer, the only convenience store in the Valley that sponsors us and David has never been to.
Yep. Nothing better.
No comment.
Nothing better, though, when the fall hits, the weather changed. We talked about it last week. Donuts just hit different. The hot coffee hits different. When that weather starts dipping into the 40s and 30s every morning, it's a great way to start your day, and nobody does it better than the Jolly Farmer.
As I walked out the door today, it's like the coldest it's been,
cold.
I almost brought some They Who Will Not Be Named donuts up today, but then I was like, no, we got business to get down to. So, but I really wanted like a pumpkin donut. That's all I'll say. Use your context clues.
Let's get down to that business. Last week's action, we will start with Wyalusing over Canton, 54-28, high-scoring affair. Tell me a little bit about that game, Logan.
For sure. It was in Canton. Wyalusing and Canton both coming off losses the week prior, and it was, for about two quarters, it was a pretty close game. Wyalusing actually jumped out to a 14-0 lead to start. Then here comes Canton. They tied it at 14-all, and then Wyalusing actually pulled ahead 20-14, I believe it was, going into the locker room. They used a sort of a trick play. We talked about Wyalusing this year. They don't really throw forward passes a whole lot. Well, in that game, they had thrown a couple of backwards passes, actually gashed some big gains with it, had one that was dropped, so it's still a live ball. Officials didn't blow it dead because the ball went backwards. Wyalusing was able to scoop it up and gain like 28 yards, and I think it just kind of caught everybody by surprise almost. But then right before halftime, they go back to a similar play. They throw it backwards to Reuben Kinney, and instead of taking off up the field, he stops and turns and throws. Well, streaking down the field is the Wyalusing fullback. I know those sentences don't normally go together that much. Streaking down the field is the fullback. Catches it, 53-yard touchdown, 20-14. And after that, it was really just a race Canton could never get back to even to. Wyalusing returned the opening kickoff of the third quarter for a touchdown, and the final score was 54-28. Both teams dealing with a lot of injuries, as a lot of football teams are at this point in the year. Starting, like you said, starting to get colder.
Yep.
The wear and tear of the season starting to add up. So
bodies are breaking down.
Yep. So it was just Canton had to try to pass back into it, and they just couldn't put enough drives together and stop Wyalusing enough defensively. So Wyalusing pulled away. They won it 54-28. Their first win since that win was on October 4th. It was their first win since September 5th. So
Okay. Almost
an entire month. They were having a tough three-game stretch after a hot start.
Should be a good one tonight. Wyalusing will be at home against Athens. David will be at that one. And then Canton, they're sticking around at home. They'll get Wellsboro, which Logan will be at tonight. Moving on to the Sayre Redskins. They fall short, South Williamsport 55-7 over Sayre. Talk to me a little bit about that one.
The score is pretty indicative. There's not a whole lot to say. I believe it was 49-0 early in the third quarter. I'm pulling up the exact box right now, but I said before we hit record today, Nick Pelicano scored another touchdown, or in other words, the sun came up. So a bright spot in what was not a great trip on the road for Sayre is their offensive playmaker leader got in the end zone again. So I'm going to pull that up right now. But it was 21-0 after one, 42-0 at halftime.
Yeah, and then got away from them.
South got in the end zone to start the third quarter. And then the final score in the fourth, Sayre outscored South 7-6, but you let up 49 to start, it's not exactly going to go your way. But it's your normal contributors in that one. Jahmyr Cole had 10 carries. Carter Green had 11 carries. Riley Johnson, who I looked it up on the rosters when I was putting it together early this week, he had 4 carries. He's only a freshman, so maybe getting him ready for what next year could be like for a young player. But other than that, not too much. They're going to return home this week, but we'll get to that.
Redskins will be back in the Lockhart Street Bowl, but on Saturday, they'll play host to Towanda.
Yes, their homecoming game.
Homecoming for the Redskins. Troy over Wellsboro, not shocking. Troy, another win. A little bit interesting, though, is the score of this one. 50-20. You don't see the Trojans giving up that many points. Certainly not in league play, but again, 50-20 over Wellsboro. How much do we have on that one, guys?
We have a little bit, if I could ever just find what I need when I need to find it. Troy football. There it is. They went over 600 yards on offense okay. in that game, and it was 30-0 at halftime. So while the final score was 50 gotcha. To 20, that game was put away.
Not quite indicative of how the game early. Really, yeah.
So, I mean, in that one, it was 14-0 after one, 30-0 at halftime, and 37-0 in the third quarter. So then Wellsboro finally got into it, 43-7. Your final score, 50-20. So, I mean, Evan Woodward, 11-16, 253 yards and 3 passing touchdowns for a quarterback in the NTL. And we get it. Troy is in a class of their own football-wise this year. I don't think I'm out of bounds to say something like that.
No way. Yep.
But for a quarterback in high school football to finish with 3 passing touchdowns and 250 yards passing, that's something to highlight and look at. So,
no question.
Other than that, I mean, Mason Smith had 101 yards rushing on 3 carries. Brendan Gilliland had 5 carries for, I think the final number was 80 yards. I'm sorry, 90 yards. So they have their playmakers. They gash defenses. And going into that game after they had played by losing the week before, Coach Jim Smith was talking about how the kids were excited to play on turf. You feel a little bit faster on turf, so to speak. So they had a night offensively and just kind of coasted throughout the second half. Got some JV players in, got some younger guys in to play some of those minutes down the stretch.
They're on the road again tonight, this time in North Penn Mansfield. Let's jump across the border. Waverly, speaking of in a class of their own, 62-0 over Watkins Glen, Odessa Montour, or I believe, are Skyler. We going by Skyler now?
I think it's a Skyler.
David,
I
had a Skyler. Long discussion about this last week. What do we call these guys now? But regardless.
I reached out to Dave Post like, hey, is Watkins Glen, Odessa Montour the same thing as Skyler? He's like, yes. I'm like, all right, then we'll just go with Skyler.
They were no match for Waverly against 62-0. What do you got on the Wolverines, David?
It was 42-0 after the first quarter. It was just one of those games for Waverly where they're just in the class of their own, just better than the other team. Ben Shaw, the quarterback, was 8-for-8 for 92 yards, and that was his day. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
3 touchdown passes in that.
And we talked a lot about his progression. Yeah. I mean, every week it's just better and better.
Yeah, so there's not much to really take away from the game other than Waverly dominated a team that they should dominate. And
They've got a little bit of a hike tonight. They'll go to Dryden. Before we'll come back to New York in a second, before we get to that, let's talk what happened last Saturday with the Wildcats and Towanda. Nice little rivalry they've had over the course of history. This time it's the Black Knights who get the advantage, 34-13 last Saturday. You guys both there?
Yeah.
Yes. Talk to me about it.
I think it was the first game we've had where we actually overlapped.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And now, on a Friday night, that's not ever really going to happen just because there's so many games and we got to be so many places. On a Saturday where there's not maybe as much on the slate, plus we don't have to worry about a deadline.
Yeah, nice little
wrinkle.
That's
how something like that lines up. Well, coming into this game, it was billed as the matchup of perhaps the two most dynamic quarterbacks throwing and running. Or I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah.
I messed that up when I was writing and I had to go back and fix it. But throwing and running just in the NTL, which now that I sit here and think about it, I don't think Evan Woodward minds because I think he just kind of handles his business, but
sure. He
throws and runs too. Every quarterback in high school football for the most part throws and runs. Does. But these were two guys that were similar kind of playmakers, could really gash you with their legs and also could make some throws. And then the game just didn't play out like that. Athens got the ball to start and they ended up getting inching into Towanda territory, but turned it over on downs. And then the Black Knights just saw to it. They scored on their first 4 drives. It wasn't 28 unanswered, but they just, they got the ball, they went down the field and scored. Yeah. It was 27-6 at halftime.
Yeah.
And then Towanda got the ball to start second half, scored again. And that was really it because from there, neither team could really figure something out. Athens did get in the end zone down the stretch. But, I mean, I don't know. One of my bigger takeaways from that game was it got sloppy at points, penalty-wise, for both teams.
Sure did.
So, I mean, I don't know if you had anything different. I'll kick it to you since we were both there.
I mean, the one thing that, penalty-wise, the one thing that stood out is there was 3 roughing the passer penalties on the same drive.
Yeah, which just something bizarre. You don't want to see at this point in the season, right?
But it turned into, I'm just from, I guess, really speaking from Athens' point of view, it really turned into a heavy passing game which is not really what the Wildcats want to have happen. Connor Davidson, I have him down as 17 of 31, which is the most completions and most passing attempts he's had all season long, probably in his career. I don't know exactly what happened last year, what his high was last year, but he had 160 passing yards. He had 183 passing yards as a season high at Cannon earlier this year. But there's just a lot of passing, and I'm not entirely sure that's what Athens' game plan really wants to be, because I think he had something along the lines of like 13 carries, 50 something yards, and it's just not.
Almost felt like you were adapting to try to play catch-up all game.
That's it, too. And you're thinking of how we're talking about how dynamic these quarterbacks are. Davidson runs when they're going well. He's running all over the place, making people miss, and it wasn't really happening in that game.
A couple of before you turn to the next one, a couple of just interesting bright spots that we talked about the quarterbacks, but Tayshaun Garner for Towanda had 100. I think it was 127 yards receiving. He had four catches.
Yeah,
four total catches. Yeah. Three big ones, including a 37 yard touchdown.
Which
might
was
have been
awesome.
Four big catches, because I think he went for something like 21, 22, and then 37 yard touchdown, and then like a 48 yard gain.
That chunk plays, huh?
That 37 yard touchdown would happen right in front of us. It was a really cool play to see, because he just got behind the defender and the ball was placed perfectly in front of him. Riley Slider, he was at like the 15-yard line behind the play, and all you just see is his hands go on his head like, oh my gosh.
What a play.
And he's just standing like in that position for like 5 seconds.
And this is true of a lot of teams in the league. Is it's not a lot of teams where we have like three guys on offense we rely on. A lot of teams have multiple contributors. I mean, we just talked about Troy. Even like a Canton, when they're healthy, they have multiple guys doing things. Wylusing really leans on its running back core, but they even got some other guys involved. I didn't shout him out, but Reuben Kinney, I did say his name. He threw the touchdown pass. He also had two other touchdowns in that game. So, but just Towanda, it's almost like whoever has the hot hand. I mean, Riley Vanderpool, when he's going, he's always going to be going. But if it's Riley Slider, if it's Reese Slider, a freshman who started at quarterback to start this year and has now been an option in the passing game and the running game a little bit, even Gage Evans, another freshman for Towanda that's had some moments himself this year. So they're really multiple, and that was something I talked to Coach Jamie Wecker about afterwards. And he says, like, I'm paraphrasing, but it's so big for us to be able to do that because – we know people are going to key in on Riley, and they want to take away Riley Vanderpool's legs. Well, all right, we'll throw it. So it was really just to me, that game was a classic case of team who's ready to be where they are because they're senior heavy, as compared to a team that's ascending in Athens with a young quarterback. He's just a sophomore. Like, he's still going to have two more years under his belt to continue to grow.
And a lot of sophomores around him, too.
Yeah,
well, so.
That was the one name I was going to shout out for Athens, is it looked like Eli Chapman was back in the fold after he had been out for a couple of weeks with an injury. He had a highlight catch, one-handed screen. Yeah. Sort of a screen. It was like kind of an in the flat ball, but one-handed catch, and he let the Towanda defense know, even though that it wasn't going their way, but that's gamesmanship right there.
Absolutely. So. Well, you two can't comment on this because you're reporters and need to keep your objectivity. I'll say I'm having trouble deciding which way I'm going to lean in this Towanda-Wylusing showdown we're going to get at the end of the year. Both have put it together at times. Both have had some ups, some downs. I'm keeping my eye on both those as we get close to this final game of the season coming up in a couple weeks, but
I think we're
on the right track last week.
I think that we've said this already in recent weeks taping this, is I think that's going to shape up to be the best of the three Bradford County rivalry games. I don't see how you could look at it any other way. I mean, Troy Canton is going to be the old shoe, which is they're all storied rivalries, right? But Troy has been unbeaten and not really had it look close except for a week two game that was in Delaware. Yep. So nobody
the Rusty
in the
Rail
has,
game, Sarah struggled this year.
Yeah.
So. And at you figure... what Davidson has done best this year will work against a Sarah team, like you said, that has struggled and has kind of let up points at different stretches throughout this year. So,
yeah. And then Waverly's kind of really put themselves in a different class this year, the rest of New York for that matter. But let's talk Tioga. That was maybe the most competitive back and forth game of last week. The Tigers actually fall short to Delaware Academy or Delhi, 41-34. But my guess is, David, this won't be the last time these two probably see each other this season.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really fun game to watch. And it was 41-34, and it was with Delhi. Tioga never led in this game, but Delhi was never ahead by more than one possession.
Back and forth,
it was
right?
7-0, 7-7, 14-7, 14-14, 21-14, and so on. If it's this competitive and if Tioga is still at the top of Class D and if Delhi is up there as well, I mean, it could very well be a section championship, if not a semifinal. And if that's the case, that's going to be a really fun one to cover, apparently. But it was a fun game. But yeah, Delhi scored the on their first possession. Tioga answered back. And it just kind of kept being that way for five straight combined possessions, something like that. I think it was five straight possessions to begin the game that somebody scored that gave Delhi a 21-14 lead. And then all of a sudden, there were like five or six combined possessions where nobody scored into the second half. So it looked like it was going to be the shootout, and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then the last part of the game was like seven combined possessions with a touchdown. So it turned into a shootout again. But it was always Tioga down by a touchdown and just trying to keep up. And they had a chance at the end of the game. They're down 41-34. They got inside the Delhi territory on the big fourth down conversion with a little bit less than a minute left. It seemed like, okay, they're probably going to score. They have found their big running game in that second half. And then there was an interception that ended it, and Delhi got their win. But Jake Brown had an awesome game. I want to pull this up real quick. He had 126 yards on 13 carries. He was the big dog for Tioga. He was the goalkeeper for the boys soccer team last year. Now he's their main running back.
And it was funny. You and I kind of saw each other at the fence at halftime. Yeah. And we were talking, man, what's something Tioga needs to do here if we're going to pull ahead in this game? And we both kind of said, Jaden Dunkson, we need to have a big second half, right?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Just not enough.
He, throughout their running game, the first half of the season, Jaden Dunkson, the quarterback, hasn't really been a huge part of that by any stretch. He actually had a 50-yard touchdown pass for their first score of the game, which was his first varsity touchdown pass. But in the second half, he goes for a, let's see, I have it up, 51-yard touchdown run. It was like, oh, there's Jaden Dunkson. And then the next offensive snap they have, 64-yard run by Jaden Dunkson. So he went for over 100 yards on seven carries. If Dunkinson's going to be like that the rest of the season, that's a big step up, a Absolutely. Big thing for Tioga.
So, leading us into this week, as I said, tonight we got Athens at Wyalusing, which David will be at. Wellsboro at Canton, that's where Logan will be. Troy's on the road to North Penn Mansfield. And then Waverly's on the road as well against Dryden. We got some Saturday football. Logan's going to be at Towanda at Sayre. And then David's going to be heading to Newark Valley for the Tigers against the Cardinals. That's really it. Game of the week. Athens-Wyalusing could get interesting,
I
was gonna
say, I think that game could be pretty good.
Yeah,
I think that'll be a good one. I'm anxious to see how that turns out. Again, David, you mentioned Sayre is home for homecoming, mm-hmm. so get out and check that out Saturday. And again, support us. You can get previews for those on stands right now in the Football Friday editions for both papers, the Morning Times and the Daily Review. And yeah, it's fall's here. It's nice out. Get out Saturday as well. We got plenty of football action still and on both nights this weekend. Before we get into the Philly Minute, which could be a little bit depressing. I know a lot of listeners, maybe not the best Friday, given the Phillies' exit from the playoffs, but Eagles football's back too. Before we get into that, Logan, talk to me about everyone's favorite convenience store.
Before we get into everyone's favorite convenience store, David, do you have any other sports from the past week that you'd like other to highlight?
Local? Well, on Monday I was at Tioga Central Volleyball against Lansing, and Lansing is the defending Class B state champion. And Tioga swept them earlier this year, so that's already a good sign for Tioga volleyball. And then I was there on Monday, and Tioga won the first two sets 26-24, so it was really competitive. And then Lansing fights back for the fifth set at one point. In the fourth set, Lansing had like 11 straight points. It just kind of took over the match. But Tioga rebounded and broke away from a 7-7 tie in the fifth set to win that 15-11, and it was just a really fun, competitive volleyball match that Tioga was able to kind of recover after a bit of a lull there. So they're off to a pretty good start this season.
Yeah, and Logan, I'm glad you stopped me there because we definitely need to make sure we mention we had a record broken, correct?
Absolutely. So that was Wednesday night. This will come out Friday, so you're listening 2 days after the fact. But hopefully you picked up a copy of that day's Daily Review because got a really good story done on that. I was really proud of how it kind of turned out. I struggle to write soccer in bilineable stories just because sometimes it'll be like 1-0, sometimes it'll be 2-0, and it's just hard to figure out what to focus on and what to write about. But before I necessarily tell you what you just teased, I have four things written down. I have two interesting moments. I'm sorry, I have one really interesting moment, two good games, and a game result that is going to have implications. Which one would you like to hear about first? Kirk, I'll let you make the decision.
Two good games.
All righty. So that was Thursday. We'll start Thursday last week. Wylusing and Wellsboro, senior day for the Lady Rams. Previously this season, they had played Wellsboro to a 0-0 scoreless double overtime tie on their home field. It was going that same exact way, 0-0 after regulation, after full time, as they like to say in the football world.
And nice accent on that.
I know, right?
The football world.
You gotta,
all right.
Throw the accent on it. Then the first overtime, same thing, no goals. And I'm sitting here, okay, so I stood here for 100 minutes of soccer and not a single goal went into the net. And then with 3 minutes left to play in double overtime, Wylusing got their golden goal and they won it. So that was a good story, and got to talk to their coach, Gary Haley, afterwards. And he said, he was like, I thought we were going to play 200 minutes of soccer with Wellsboro this year and nobody was going to score a goal.
Right,
so
yeah.
That was
what
Thursday.
A stalemate.
They also added a come-from-behind win down in Sullivan County on Monday, 3-2. They were down 2-0, came back to win 3-2. Other than that, Tuesday night I was at NEB Volleyball. They were hosting Wellsboro. It was their pink out game. Wellsboro, though, was the one wearing the pink uniforms. I never asked anybody about that. I didn't get any clarity. Hey, if you're going to have a pink out game, you might as well have as much pink as you can going on. The NEB players had like pink in their hair and like okay. pink like ribbons Got and stuff it. Like that. Northeast Bradford takes their first loss of the year on the volleyball court in five sets. The wow. first time they've played five sets all year, and they were down 2-1 and they won the fourth set 34-32
wow.
to force a fifth set. I'm not going to pull it up right now, but it was tied pretty much every point from 23 on up into 32 until they finally just, they were the ones that were able to put 2 points together. And then I don't know if that kind of took all the gas out of the tank or something like that, because Wellsboro kind of just built a lead in that fifth set. You only played a 15, so they built an advantage and just pulled away for the win. But really, just really entertaining volleyball.
That's incredible.
That's another sport that like I necessarily struggle to write about and know which are like points to focus on, so to speak. But you could tell a moment when you're in it. And 34-32, yeah. I might not see that again yeah. for as long as I cover volleyball.
When I was in North Carolina, I covered some really – I went to three – separate state championships for volleyball with three different schools from mm-hmm. my area. And so I've seen a lot of good volleyball. I've never seen 34 to 32.
Yeah, it was madness. And it was like, I think everybody was like on the edge of their seats, just couldn't, because like you get up, you get the point. Okay, so you're up a point. You just need one. The other team figures it out. So
it's
it was
10 different match points.
Yeah, it was intense.
That's why I love anything that has to be decided by two.
Yeah. I always get so nervous watching volleyball when yeah. it comes down to like, this is going to be a match point, because I feel like so often, yeah, it's like, okay, you're trying to stave off being beaten by the other team, and you have to serve and
yeah.
right into the net, and it's yeah, just like yeah. over. And then that just stinks for everybody. But the other thing I have on here was Troy girls soccer. They won 3-0 over Wylusing on Wednesday. They're going to have the doubleheader. Doubleheader is probably not the right way to say it. Two games in 3 days with
home
Athens.
Home
and home with Athens next week. And they're currently 1-2 in the large school standings. Troy is 10-0 in the league. Athens is 9-1. So I'm sure there's more math that goes into it. But to make things simple, if Athens wins two, they'll probably win the league. If they split, I would assume Troy would win. Okay. I would think in a case of like yeah. Athens wins one, they tie the other one,
right.
then Athens would win. But that's going to be, it worked out. I think they had a game postponed, so it worked out that they're playing
back to
two
back,
games yeah. against each other next week, home and home. So I'm sure we'll have plenty of coverage of those games, whether it's from here up in the Valley or down in East Troy. But that's going to be exciting. And now that I've talked about all that, I'll leave with the thing that you set up. Anna Dunn breaks the Tawanda girls soccer all-time goal-scoring record. She needed two goals coming into the game. 0-0 at halftime. It was a tough fought game. Neither side could really seem to figure it out. And then time's ticking away in the second half. She gets her first, so she's tied the record now. I believe she was at 79 career goals. A couple minutes later, pretty much a shot a lot like her first one. Lets it go. It gets past the keeper, 2-0. There's the record. Well, she wasn't done. She scored three more goals, so she finished with 5 goals on the night. I'm sorry, I just thought of a pun that I accidentally said in my speaking. She wasn't finished, I guess I should say, and scored 5 goals on the night to blow past the record and become the Tawanda all-time leading scorer. Had over 50 goals yeah. as a junior, has really just been one of the best offensive strikers, offensive players in the girls NTL soccer league the last couple of years. So
yeah, big congratulations there. That's a tremendous achievement, certainly. Talk to me about the Jolly Farmer, and we'll keep it moving.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store in Waverly. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and even that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. I haven't been to the Jolly Farmer in a while, but what kind of, you make your coffee, I'm sure they got a coffee station, right? Like you make your hot coffee. What kind of creamer selections are they working with? They got your French vanilla, your hazelnut.
Caramels.
Oh, okay. That's my favorite.
I'll tell you what I'm probably looking forward to this Saturday is maybe late afternoon, early evening. I got to help my parents move some furniture. I'm going to be a little exhausted, ready to kick my feet up. Really good beer selection down at Jolly Farmer. I'm going to probably stop there and pick up a couple cold ones to finish up watching some college football after I get out and check out some good high school games this weekend.
I know we're on the other side of the ad. One last quick thing. Northeast Bradford girls soccer's Leah Beebe celebrated her 1,000th career save last night awesome. Against Tawanda as well.
Congratulations. Big time. Philly Minute. 76 seconds on the clock. Probably a lot of people tuning in for this one because it's a tough week to be a Philadelphia sports fan. David, I know you're feeling it. Walk through it. 76 seconds. Go.
I don't know what you're talking about. Matvei Mishkov starts for the Flyers on Friday night. The Flyers are back. The Sixers are starting soon.
That's what everyone's thinking about.
The Phillies are a colossal disappointment. This is why I was in here a couple of weeks ago saying I wasn't all that excited about the division because nobody cares that they won the division now. Like, nobody cares. The offense was just a no-show in the NLDS. The bullpen, which was a strong point, which was a supposed strength over the Mets, gave up more earned runs than innings pitched in the NLDS. Bryce Harper had a really bad timed strikeout where he chased three pitches after two walks that led off an inning in Game 3 that really kind of ruined anything in that game. Rob Thompson had a really bad managing decision by keeping Jeff Hoffman in Game 4 and then leaving Carlos Estevez a flyball pitcher to give up a grand slam to Francisco Lindor. I like turned on the Weather Channel for 5 minutes right after that happened because I'm like, I can't watch the New York Mets celebrate.
You need to turn on the Weather Channel.
I didn't have that on the bingo card there.
For 5 minutes, then I went back because the Phillies had like somewhat of a chance at the end of the game, but. The one thing that really grinds my gears about this season is the one big move they made was Austin Hayes at the deadline. It was just a complete zero. So nobody did well. No, everyone's at fault, except for the starting pitching.
And that was a little over time. But
let's keep it going. October baseball.
Real quick before we get there. You said, I can't watch this. Let me check in on the hurricane.
Let me check on the percentages Bradford County.
I have a bit of a fascination with hurricanes to begin with.
I've fallen down the wormhole this week, too. I can't say I have.
They always fascinate me. But it really was just because I happened to check on the Weather Channel like hours before that because I was just curious to see what was going on with everything going on in Florida. And that was the first thing I saw when I was trying to leave the Phillies broadcast was the Weather Channel. So I just put it on the Weather Channel for a minute.
You more of a Michael Irvin or like an Ed Reed kind of guy, Frank Gore, maybe? Hurricanes?
Oh, Miami, God.
Ray Lewis.
I'm more of The Rock.
Yeah, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He went to U2. I forget that.
Warren Sapp. Maybe?
Yeah, I was all just right. trying to
I got
a names
comes,
in my head.
I got no opinions.
Here
on
comes the name game with the Hurricanes.
Thompson's
safe.
I think he is, but there's more of a possibility. that something might be changed. But there were some weird things in this postseason that he did.
Boehm safe.
I don't. No, it's not obvious, which is like the concerning thing. It's like, what do you want to do? Because like you have five guys being paid over $100 million who some of them were a bit of an issue, like Trey Turner. Castellanos was actually pretty good in the series, which is funny enough. But so Boehm isn't paid that much money right now, but I guess they have to pay him if you want to keep him. I don't know what the whole thing is, but I don't care now about Alec Boehm.
Mets team of destiny? Are they going to the World Series? You bought in, Logan?
Yeah.
Something's in the air.
One of my close friends from school, he's a senior this year. He's told me why in the past, but he's a huge Mets fan. So I've just been texting him after I see the final scores of games or whatever. So I texted him last night and I was just like, it's all about the Mets. And he was like, I'm so happy. He's like, oh, I might go to Game 3 and 4. He said something. I was like, oh, well, it was fun while it lasted because he is a serial loser when he attends events. So
obviously everyone, because the Grand Slam on Wednesday,
yeah,
everyone wants to point to Lindor. Pete Alonso. If there was ever a case to be made to keep me.
Oh, yeah.
He's done it, right?
He was probably not going to be a Met until he hit the home run in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Does he have a big contract already, or is he now due up for one? Like, has he been paid before?
I think he has.
I think he has, and then he turned down, I believe, a number last year when they tried to negotiate all this.
Yeah, this became a thing last year.
And now that's the reason why everyone thinks, well, he's gone. Probably got to pay him now.
Yeah. Which they're like the heavy favorite for Juan Soto, but if they pay Alonso, they might not get the whole Juan Soto thing going.
Yeah, and in baseball, who knows, though, right? All of a sudden, you could have three of those guys on one team. Other October baseball, the Tigers, speaking of teams of destiny and some magic in the air, one game away as of the time of this recording.
ALDS game four is on this Thursday.
Thursday at 6 o'clock, so by the time you're listening to this, you'll know if that magic continued and the Tigers are through or if they got to play a deciding game five with the Guardians.
If you see Kirk walking around town with a little bit of extra pep in his step, it's because the Yanks went on to the ALCS.
Look, I said it. If the Yankees, the only bigger disappointment than the Phillies season would be if the Yankees got bounced, because it's arguably the easiest path you could ever have to the World Series is to go through the AL Central. That's me knocking on wood.
But you're also right. It's the AL Central. None of them are that great.
But I talk myself into these situations, and anybody who's listening that's a Yankees fan's yelling, shut up. What are you doing?
The scariest team left on the AL side of things has to be the Guardians to the Yankees, and they're down 2-1 to the Tigers.
Look, it's just the truth. Did not have to play the Astros or the Orioles to get to the World Series. This couldn't have worked out better. You obviously got to take care of business. Again, the time of this recording, the Yankees are up 2-1. That series may be decided by the time you listen to it also, or they could be continuing. My biggest, what I don't know if my heart can take is if it's got to be Yankees-Mets in a Subway Series, but we can't get ahead of ourselves and talk about that now. I believe in bad juju in the air and doing that, all that type of...
Right now, all you're trying to do is get past Bob Costas.
The worst Booth in the playoffs. I asked David this morning, if we get through the series, do I have to put up with listening to him anymore?
And no, he does not.
He reassured me no. Brian so, Anderson. If anything, let's just get this series over with so we don't have to listen to Costas anymore like it's 1988. NFL. Locks of the week. Only guy to take a loss last week with their lock, Logan. Didn't quite get the job done.
You can't come up if you don't start at the bottom.
Very true. Well, I'm 1-0. David's 1-0. Logan starts this new era of lock of the weeks, 0-1. Let's get into it. I'll start. I'm going to take the Texans as my lock of the week over the Patriots. They just won in a nail biter against Buffalo. They seem like they're back on track is the real deal. Stroud looks good. They got guys everywhere. And the Patriots are going to start Drake May for his first week as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I like the Texans to get it done over the Patriots as my lock of the week. David.
It has to be the Eagles. And I know that's like just the obvious. I'm the Eagles fan. I'm going to pick the Eagles. But they have to win this week against Cleveland. Like otherwise, there's just if you lose to Cleveland at home after a bye and you fall to 2-3 on the season, there's just a whole lot of turmoil to boil up. And they have to be Cleveland. So it's my lock.
Plenty of time to prepare for a bad team. I like that one. Logan.
I'm looking at the slate, and I'm seeing a lot of games that are really close this week, it feels like. It feels like it's going to be a really good week of
last week was tough.
Football. The game that I will pick is the Bengals Sunday night over the Giants. Bengals played a thriller last week against the Ravens, came up on the losing side of it. They're 1-4. They need to start getting some wins if they're going to be a serious team this year. So the other game I thought about doubling down on London, going Jaguars over the Bears. They're out in London this week, early morning, but I won't touch the London game, even though I turned it on at the very end last week and the Jets almost pulled off the return to tie or comeback, I would say. And then I looked at that Bills-Jets game Monday night, but I don't know what to make of either of those
teams. Salah out as head coach, obviously, is the news that we haven't touched on. Kind of saw it coming, whether it was they were going to wait till the end of this year, try to make something happen now.
I'm surprised they did it now.
Yeah, they go with the defensive coordinator as the interim. I don't, from the sounds of it and from what I read, it doesn't look like they're in any rush to hire. I don't know how you feel if you're a Jets fan, considering you're not out of anything. Yeah, you still have Rodgers. You still have a lot of those guys that you expected to compete with.
But how do you hire a new head coach week six of the season?
And it's tough because he can't come in and install his system. He doesn't want to prove his reputation based on someone else's stuff, right?
Again, like Logan was saying, the Jets were going down the field trying to win that game on Sunday. If they get a touchdown there, then you're not firing Saleh, right?
Right.
So
Texans for me, Bengals for Logan, Eagles for David. I have one other thing I want to read before. Does anyone have anything else?
I was just going to say, the Jets offense from, and I haven't watched every single Jets game this year, but it doesn't look fluid.
Yeah.
Okay, and I get it, Rodgers is on the other side of 40 or 39. Sure. I don't know exactly how old he is off the top of my head, but he's the oldest player in the league, I'm pretty sure.
I think he is 40.
It just like, it looks like he's either force feeding it to Lazard or force feeding it to Garrett Wilson a week ago. Breece Hall hasn't been as effective as he was kind of billed to be as Breece Hall fantasy owner. Trust me, I know. Right. But I just, it.
Something's
it,
missing.
And I get it. Like, it's not, he's not 29. He's not even 33 at some of his heyday in Green Bay, but it just does not look great.
Yeah.
You want to know how you fix that?
What do you got to do?
Go get Devontae Adams.
That's going to drop soon, right?
It's going to be a sweepstakes, but it sounds like by not trading for him week after week, you're saving about $1 million a week, whoever's going to end
just,
up.
Teams are just trying to buy as much time as they can.
Especially if he's just not going to play until he gets traded. Like, why would you
right.
not?
So a few weeks ago, I kind of threw out an idea that the first round quarterbacks of this last draft looking like some pretty bad bust, looking like it's going to be bad. This is from Adam Schefter after last week. Washington's Jaden Daniels, 4 wins. Denver's Bo Nix, 3. And Chicago's Caleb Williams, 3 have combined for 10 wins this season. The second most by rookie quarterbacks in the first 5 weeks of a season since 1970. If that doesn't kind of say, hey, you got to eat a little bit of crow on that.
You know what that tells me? They listen to this podcast.
They do, those right?
Rookie quarterbacks.
So to that, Jaden Daniels looks incredible. Logan, maybe you don't quite have to walk back that quarterback of the NFC East take.
Oh, I'm not the only talking head saying it. They're talking about could he win an MVP after some of these games. So I think that's maybe a little out of reach, and I forget who I was talking to.
Our good friend Johnny Williams threw out a text after he had listened a couple weeks ago.
Told me it was the worst take ever.
Your worst take ever. I wonder, I got to text him after this episode and get where he stands now with that, because I'm not going to say he's the best in the NFC. Certainly not. I still believe that's Dak Prescott, but he's looking really good.
You're going to have to look at the numbers by the end of the year, because it could be a close race. And I know stats aren't everything, but that's what people go off of. That's what you look at the end of the year. I mean, only one team wins the Super Bowl every year. So his numbers compared to Jalen Hurts' number, compared to Dak's numbers, they could all have similar numbers by the end of the year.
Well, I guess what I got to, just to piggyback off that, and David, you're NFC East guy as an Eagles fan, forget just Jaden Daniels as a top tier quarterback in this league and in the NFC East. Are the Commanders the cream of the crop in that division?
No. I'm not yet.
Okay.
I don't want to say, I'm not saying like they're not going to, but if they beat the Ravens this week, then it's like, oh,
I was
going to
say,
oh boy.
Battle of the Beltway this week.
If that's going to show us a lot.
If they beat that Ravens team that's coming off that thrilling win against Cincinnati, where they were down 10 points, it felt like, the entire second half, and somehow, some way, they got it done and found a way to leave with a win. If Washington comes in there and beats them at home and does it convincingly, everybody on ESPN Monday morning is going to be singing the praises of every single Washington
teams player. Teams that you don't expect start out hot for a minute, and people are like, oh, this might be... So that could be the Commanders, but they could also be real. I think if they beat Baltimore, then it's time to really like consider them. I also think it's possible that the Commanders are last year's Houston Texans.
Were the Commanders last in that division last year?
The Giants were? I think so.
Okay.
No, it would have had to have been the Commanders.
They had the two pick. Okay. Well, I only bring this up because, and I think we've talked about this off air a few times, there's that stat out there that at an 87 or 88% clip, there's always a team that goes from last in their division to first the next year.
Oh, yeah, because we were saying that should be the Bengals. That was like our
pick. That's who
I know you guys said that, huh? It's like someone sat on the other side of this table and laughed at you.
No, but
Commanders might be the leading candidate for that.
I guess the Giants, it was the Commanders were last.
It would have had to have been. They picked second and they didn't trade up.
Yeah, they got to be the leading candidate there for right now. Some of the other quarterbacks I just mentioned, Bo Nix. The Broncos kind of middle of the road?
Maybe.
Not quite as bad as we thought, but not quite as good to really jump out on a limb on him yet, right?
That defense has been the story so far. Had a 100-yard pick six, Patrick Surtain last week. So, I mean, they just pulled away from... I don't know if this is tongue-in-cheek for me to say this. They just pulled away from a not very high-ceiling Raiders team. I know the Raiders beat the Ravens, but just like a team that you're not expecting to see in January. So, but just taking care of business. And Bo Nix hasn't always looked great, but he hasn't necessarily always looked bad. So, I mean, that's all you can ask for.
Caleb Williams with the Bears. The Bears have kind of got back on track a little bit. Again, a team that you're not quite ready to go out on a limb and ride with them, but at the same time, well, not quite as bad as they look to start. Well, they're getting it together a little bit.
I think they might have also started 2-1 without looking good.
Yeah.
So, like, they were just kind of in a decent spot to begin without having shown anything.
Right. Playing across the pond this weekend.
Yes.
9:30.
London game again on Sunday morning. Jets was and the Vikings was last week, right? Yeah.
Jaguars are out there.
Vikings undefeated.
The Jaguars are out there again next week. Oh, that was one take while we're cleaning up our takes from so far this year. I think I finally have to start respecting the Minnesota Vikings. I think that I put my lock of the week against them, and I said this will determine it, but the defense is scary. Darnold hasn't, I mean, he wasn't as good last week as he was through the first 4 weeks, but he hasn't had to be. He's had to get it to his weapons.
At some point, you're going to get Hockenson's back.
Coming back. So
it's kind of the Niners blueprint, right? Really good D, some good skill position playmakers, and a quarterback whose task is to just not really make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Be a game manager in a good way. And that's what Darnold's done. It's that recipe success that Shanahan and the Niners put out for so many years.
Darnold played in that system for a minute.
He did. Anything else to clean up in the NFL or just in sports in general before we get out of here?
I was just going to touch college real quick. We haven't really touched on college.
Big Saturday.
Vanderbilt beats Alabama. That was the story of the weekend.
Wow.
They ripped the goalpost out and took it to
the river.
The river 3 miles away. But I was more so just going to look at this week's slate coming up.
Several teams in the top 12 went down.
It was one of the most insane weeks because there was like six top 10 teams lost.
And there could have been more, but Miami had to come back from down 35-10.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching some of that game and turned it off. Like, oh, crap, they won.
Wild.
Big games this week. Penn State, number 4, heading out to USC. It's going to be a good one. Kickoff. Texas and Oklahoma.
Red River Showdown.
Rivalry. SEC edition.
SEC edition.
That's always
Texas
good.
Texas is number 1. I think Ewers is going to be back. So I saw it after the Alabama game ended.
Ole Miss, LSU.
How much is Oklahoma going to win outright by is the question people are asking.
Oh, wow. Because
the state of number ones this year. But Texas is a wagon.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, Stanford and Notre Dame, that's like feels like a classic marquee kind of matchup. Yeah.
Ole Miss LSU is a good one. Then the big ones at night.
Cal Pittsburgh at 3:30.
Yeah.
Number 22 Pittsburgh. Who's playing at night that night?
West Virginia, Iowa State. No, Ohio State and Oregon, two top 5 teams clashing. First time in the Big Ten as opponents, and a very interesting game is to continue the season with. I think I like Ohio State there. Ohio State, I mean, speaking of wagons, there's just so much talent across the board. And they're getting it done on defense just as much as they are on offense.
No one is talking about them either because they're just winning games they're supposed to
win. And they're doing it how they're supposed to, like you said, David. Yeah.
Florida-Tennessee has the chance to be a really, really good Jersey matchup.
Yeah, another classic rivalry game too. But West Virginia, like I said, at home Saturday night, it's Iowa undefeated.
State, the Cyclones, number 11, Iowa State Cyclones. So, yeah, give me Iowa State in that one.
Now, this probably. I'm curious, Logan, Kirk and I talked about this, but I'm curious if you saw the ending of Temple UConn this past week.
I did, and I didn't text you. Yeah. I saw it after I got home. We were at Tawanda Athens, and he said something along the lines of, oh, they only lost by 9 or something like that. And then I got home, and by the time I looked at it, it was like 12:30, and I was like, I should have him call me right now. And then I was like, no, I know that he's probably seen it.
I didn't text him because it also came on the heels of the Phillies losing as well.
Yeah.
It was just a tough day for David.
So I knew Temple was like sort of in that game as I went over to Athens and Tawanda. I didn't see any of the...
That's what you said.
Yeah. I didn't see any of that game because I was focused on the Phillies Mets before I went over to Athens, but I'm like, cool. They look kind of respectable. That's all that matters right now for Temple football.
Yeah.
And I see 29-20. I tell Logan, hey, cool, whatever.
They were in the game, basically.
Yeah.
And then I go and I just see people on Twitter, Temple fans, like, oh, that's just tragic. I'm like, what? what could possibly be super wrong. And then I see the play. So what happened if no one saw it? I don't know. But it's
nobody did.
Yeah. But
I just saw the highlight. Temple,
yeah. But so if but 3 seconds left, they're at the goal line. All Temple has to do is punch the ball in to win 27-23 because they're down 23-20. And then they try to do the tush push and they fumble the ball. UConn runs 100 yards the other way, wins 29-20. And I texted my dad, who was like, so now the, not even just the Phillies, but now Temple had to lose that way.
Tough day. Tough day.
You want to know how we tie this one in? Xavier Watson 1, David Goff 0.
Yeah, UConn commits. Xavier Watson had to like that. Yeah. Let's just do a quick 3-game rapid fire picks before we get out of here. Penn State at USC.
Penn State.
Logan?
I'll take USC for the plot.
I would like to see USC win, but I'm picking Penn State.
I think Penn State. I kind of want to see a Penn State Ohio State showdown where it's
for, I would very much like to see that
where
as
it means
well,
something. So let's go to that. Ohio State Oregon, big one, top 5 matchup. David.
Ohio State.
Logan.
The Ducks are here. Let's go Oregon. Right. I mean, I have a feeling you're going to pick Ohio State.
I'm going Buckeyes, and then last one.
Is it at, in Columbus?
It's in Oregon.
I'll suck at Ohio State.
But. Okay. And then our last one, game of the week, Mountaineers at home against undefeated Iowa State.
We can just throw game of the week on anything these days.
Go Mountaineers.
Iowa State.
I will take Iowa State comfortably. One question for you guys. I'm kind of steering my own ship
right now.
That's all right. Who's your Heisman winner if the season ended today? I want to see your guys' answers.
Ashton, Jensen, Boise
State. Boise State guy. That'd be
cool. They're playing in Hawaii, 11 o'clock Saturday night.
I know so. Travis Hunter's the bigger name. I know the amount of snaps he plays, that he plays both days. It's incredibly impressive. I would never try to downplay it. But do yourself a favor and go look up what Ashton Gentry's accomplishing at Boise State right now. And the fact that that team, if he continues to do it, will make the college football playoff as the group of five winner.
It would be kind of fitting for the group of five team in the new playoff to be Boise State for their history.
The only other way I hope that doesn't happen is if we get Army Navy for all the marbles.
There's potential for that too, right? Yeah. Like they're in the American Conference now, and if they're both undefeated, they'll play for the American Conference Championship with Army Navy scheduled for the next week, regardless.
Both undefeated through this many weeks in the season for the first time since 1945. Very cool. Support the troops. Yeah. With that said, we will see you guys next week. Get out there and support your local community and local sports. There's not a whole lot of high school football left in the year, so get as much as you can and get as much coverage as you can with us at the Morning Times and the Daily Review. Logan and David will have you covered the whole way through, including playoffs. And with that said, we'll see you next week.